Hello, welcome to Connected Tech Talks, the brand new podcast from ITS. I'm going to have to stop calling it brand new after a little while, aren't I? But today we've got Pete England. He leads product strategy at ITS. And we're going to have a chat with him about some trends in the market.
We're really looking forward to speaking to you because this is a quite pivotal kind of role in the industry, isn't it? So to start with, Pete, tell us a little bit about what you do for a living.
Okay, so yeah, I joined ITS 2 years ago as a sort of enabler, I think, of the scale up and the growth for the business. I am basically a product nerd. I love market. I love understanding customer needs, customer pain points, designing and implementing products that effectively answer to those, create real value to the end customer, real value for our partners, and real value for ITS.
So I guess in your role, you're probably keeping abreast of all the different things going on in the market. Are there any significant trends that our kind of viewers and listeners might want to know about?
Yeah, it's such a dynamic time to be in the connectivity market and generally in technology. As you know, there's societal, there's regulatory, there's technology shifts that are happening, then they're all happening concurrently. So, you know, when you think about the regulatory side of things, we've got a government who are absolutely wanting to encourage full fiber connectivity to really underpin a growth and a digital skills capability for the nation as a whole. So they're really pushing that regulatory environment and funding and so on to really level things up and provide digital inclusivity across the country. We've got technology shifts and new technologies coming on board, which is all about how do we get things more flexible, more agile, quicker. So the speeds, the flexibility and all the service on top that comes on top of that, because as we've seen with the adoption of cloud-based solutions, really what that's doing is just pushing down the need for more flexibility in your connectivity to match that flexibility you're seeing from how you interact with your applications. We've also got that whole digital society thing. You know, it's almost inconceivable, I think, to think that even 10 years ago, how many people were going to high street banks to do banking. Mm. And now when you see the high street banks are closing down because there's no real justification for them, everything's moving online. Everything's moving to an app-based solution. So the importance of having more reliability and the more access to applications where you just run your daily life or your business applications is becoming more and more critical. Mm. So being part of that underpinning of that revolution is really exciting.
And if you think about your first point there was around kind of government support for rolling out fiber, future-proof technology, all that. How do you think that's going in our country?
We know that we're probably one of the most regulated telecoms environments in the world, but that comes with pros and cons. Mm. The pros are that, you know, the government is really pushing through an accelerated rollout of full fiber. It has its challenges. You know, we know that there's some incumbents. We know that the altnets are now literally looking to unlock funding to get to probably harder to justify places at just a pure business level. From a business or a residential, I think there's different challenges. I mean, we're still trying to understand exactly how you can very cost-effectively connect up buildings because it's still one of the most complex things to do. You can build the best motorways, if you like, in the world, but that on-ramp onto the motorway that gives that single customer the access to those higher speeds that you know is really quite a complex thing that can often get weighed down by, you know, all sorts of different variables from being able to have access to dig up streets or to get access into a building through landlord permissions and so on. So there's a lot of complexity there, which we hope that the telecoms access review, which is happening now to kick in 2026, might be able to help us with some of those challenges. Because as a connectivity provider, the quicker we can connect, the quicker we know that end user can access the benefits.
Mm. You've been talking about everything that is kind of contributing to this further need for full fibre, and not just full fibre, really good high bandwidth, capable for what you need now, future-proofing, etc. What is it, from a technology perspective, that's really exciting you, that's putting the biggest demands out there at the moment, if you were to look at one thing?
Hopefully it doesn't come across as a cliche, but the rise of AI and AI use cases that are now starting to come through, that isn't just about using ChatGPT for, you know, being able to ask them questions and get some good information back, but it's more a case of businesses now are able to look at this as possibly the first time that when you think about all those big data collection points that you've had, that all these data sources that you get millions of sort of information from everything, you know, from your phones, from your apps, from the network, the internet, it's being able to put that into a flexible computing architecture that can actually make quick, informative insights of that data. So we're doing lots of proof of concepts at the moment to try and unlock better business intelligence to get us moving quicker, having a more reliable service, being able to understand competitive or barriers to connect, like I mentioned before. I think that's really exciting because it's suddenly it sort of unlocks things that would probably take you years of people trying to look at a problem, and you get access to something that can be done a lot quicker.
When we were doing our briefing ahead of recording this, Pete, you were telling us you're kind of like 30 years in the industry in terms of kind of product.
Isn't old enough.
Not old enough, is
Can't
it?
Be.
I started very young.
At school.
Yeah.
Yeah, a GCSE in product management.
I wish.
How has the role changed over that 30 years?
It is really interesting that. It's a great question. I mean, just that digital revolution in terms of how we operate within our role within a business, but how we then interact with our partners. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in the industry 30 years, 22 of them have been within product management. We had offline, you know, sort of data capture forms, offline quoting tools that would be used to quote an order and then get a customer to fill out an Excel spreadsheet with all this information on. And if you think about our, you know, partner portals now, that everything's online, everything's self-serve, everything's digital, that shift in itself can rapidly change the adoptability of your products. You can make that so easy to access from an end user point of view, from a partner point of view. That's been a massive, massive shift. And it places quite a lot of, I guess, challenge on how do we, you know, how do we sort of make sure that we're giving the right partner experience? The customer experience is really key. How do we make it bulletproof where we can hide some of the complexity around a lot of the nuances around those deliveries, but make it so that you're asking, you know, the fewest amount of questions to deliver the most value. So it's really that CX experience has been a massive change, I think, in terms of think customer first, think about their problem space, think about how you make it as easy as possible for them to adopt and to use your service. That's been the biggest change for me.
If you look at some of the challenges that are out there in the market, so obviously there's a kind of a food chain here. You've kind of got your providers, such as your ITSs. You've then got your partners that go out and kind of, you know, sell that product on and put their wrap around it. And then you've kind of got the business at the end of it that's consuming it. What are their challenges at the moment? What are we seeing from, what are we hearing from businesses? What are we hearing from partners? And same question to you, Dave, because you're obviously very well plugged into that through your role as well. So just be interesting to see what's the market saying.
So I think from an end user perspective, I think a lot of end users out there are looking to do more. They want to make sure that what they've got is future-proof. They don't want to have to rip it out after they've invested in putting it in. I think there's a whole load of options have sprung up around lots of different things, and they're not always sure what's the right way to go. And I think our partners, as ITS is a wholesale business, our partners need to help with that. I think that would be my view on the end users. I don't know whether you're seeing anything different.
I think you're right. I think the challenge is that migration from the old to the new. And it's happening in sort of various stages, but I think that's going to accelerate over the next few years. You know, we've got the much advertised copper switch off, you know, in terms of PSDN, the old traditional voice services are going to be turned off, forcing probably late adopters to voice over IP technologies to really shift into a more fully digital way of working. The challenges that some of our partners have really is around moving and migrating that customer, making sure that their service continuity, their business continuity is put in place. And of course, as you're moving more and more into the digital world, there are different security threats. There are different threat landscapes that you access, you know, you suddenly become prone to. So security on top of all of this migration of just basic fundamental, you know, applications, a voice application, inbound, outbound, a ability to interact? Do you want to use collaborative working platforms now like Teams or Slack, or do you want to continue to work more in a offline way and do things in a more analog fashion, if you like? So yeah. it opens up different working practices that I think almost you have to help guide those end users, those end customers through, to allow them to see the benefits of migrating and the cost of migrating is offset by the benefits of the new technology.
Yeah, I think certainly some of the partners I speak to, kind of similar to probably some of the end users we've ended up with, because I think we're in the early days of a lot of this digital tech advancement, whatever you want to call it, put whatever buzzword around it you want. At the start of any market, you end up with a big patchwork quilt of options that then over time consolidate into fewer, bigger kind of options that do more things. And I think for a lot of the technology that's coming out, we're kind of still in the patchwork quilt stage. Yeah. I think from a fiber perspective, we're kind of starting to come through that patchwork quilt piece and businesses are starting to consolidate. But then with AI and different technologies springing up, there's hundreds of options, like marketing communications from so many people trying to sell me different things. And they're all kind of doing flavors of the same bit. I think it's difficult for partners to choose who they want to put in their kit bag and sell to the end users, but equally difficult for some of the end users to go, actually, that's the one I'm going to back, and I can trust that it's going to be around for a while as well. Yeah. But I do think we've got so much bandwidth available now in the majority of cases, either at home or at work, and there's going to be a killer application that comes along. Have you got any views on what that might be?
I mean, there's a lot of talk about augmented reality and virtual reality, which for certain use cases, I think is going to be a complete shift. You think about learning, being able to put somebody in an environment through virtual reality, if it's in dangerous environments, you know, they talk about deep sea, you know, sort of oil miners or fishermen or, you know, where you can do safety training based on virtual reality rather than taking them out to the actual dangerous parts and places where they've got dangerous chemicals. I think there's healthcare is going to be amazing. You know, that fact that we're getting aging populations, I think the ability to think about how we use technology to support healthcare is going to be key. And really everything, the more connected you get, the more information that I'm saying you can consume from data points, the more you can feed that into these growing sort of machine learning, large language models that are sitting within the AI computing space now. I think that what you'll see is you're going to see an acceleration of knowledge that is going to absolutely be unparalleled in the history of humankind. I really do believe over the next 5 years, we'll look back to this chat in 5 years' time and go, wow, how has the world moved so quickly, so far from what we were talking about 5 years ago?
It's interesting though, picking up on kind of some of those almost, you know, art of the possible with this technology. We've actually got some end user customers, kind of the other side of the partner world, if you will. And I won't drop the names because you'll find them on the website on the case studies, and hopefully we can invite them on to be part of this chat. But one really interesting customer that is based in St. Helens that is MedTech, and they're doing just that. They're kind of creating these virtual reality environments so surgeons can test their surgical
like a flight simulator.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And that's now.
And if you think about, you know, when you might have your lecturer on the other side of the world because they're the expert in that type of surgery, and you're being guided through that.
Yeah.
The connectivity between those becomes critical because you can't. It's real time information that it's high bandwidth that needs to be pushed through. And you know, you think about killer apps. We haven't really got line of sight for many killer apps, but I think that's a really great example, Catherine. But I do believe that this. You know, let's be honest, these app developers have basically been designing apps to what was this old copper-based connectivity that was highly limited. As soon as that adoption rate goes up on FTTP and fiber connectivity that releases that limitation, I can imagine a huge amount of innovation is going to go into more bandwidth-hungry applications that might be more real-time, more you know, need not just speed but reliability and a level of, I guess, committed, guaranteed bandwidth that supports these more performance sort of, you know, heavy applications. Yeah. So speed is just a one-dimensional thing for me. Then it needs to be backed up by performance and capacity planning and the ability to actually serve those applications.
So how does your team remain agile to be able to work with those demands?
We look at all sorts of external market stuff. We, you know, we've got very much a self-learning sort of mindset within the product team. We're curious. We want to stay curious. We want to ask the why questions. And so, you know, from every opportunity to speak to end customers or to partners is really valuable for us because we can get information direct from the source. We basically work with experts in market, do insights quite regularly. So we've got consultants we regularly work with. As I said, we're standing up some AI proof of concepts around some specific use cases for us as a business where we want to make access, you know, or access external data that's readily available, but also augment it with our own internal information to create value for our end customers by understanding how we may be able to connect quicker or, you know, predict that there's some failure about to come in the network because there's a pattern of these events happening and then suddenly we think that there's going to be an alarm happen. So we can actually get ahead of the game. So we're doing lots of things that are really about trying to keep pushing that bound, you know, those limits of what we think we know. Let's forget that. Let's be more humble about it. Let's keep on being curious, keep on being driven to learn, ask the questions. So that's how we approach it from a product team.
So that's kind of industry tech. We get very personal now. How personal would you get? Piece of tech you couldn't live without?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd say Spotify. I'm personally a music lover. I love listening to music. I can't not listen to music every day. But just think how transformational that was to make music ultimately so accessible for pretty much anybody. You know, and I just think that's a game changer. Imagine if literally the whole world of music is at your fingertips.
Yeah. Remember my previous answer now, which is my Sonos multi-room system, which
So
coincidentally is just playing from Spotify.
I'd agree. I couldn't live without Spotify, if I'm being brutally honest. Yeah. Even though I am getting back into vinyl, but fantastic. Well,
sounds like that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Really good place to leave it. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Connected Tech Talks. Make sure you like, subscribe on whatever platform you choose to listen, and look out for more podcasts with some of our guests coming soon. Thank you.
Fabulous. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete.
Thank you.